Anyway, Psalm 125. Come by the table afterwards. I'd be glad to see you. This is a short little psalm, but it's got some things in it that are worth our consideration. Starting at the very top, it says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel." I think you're well aware, and I would not have to belabor the point, that the Middle East is on fire. And that's not new. It's not unusual. But recently, things have really been popping in the wrong direction. Now, I do remind you that the Bible tells us in Psalm 122 that we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Reason being for that, they're people God chose to use in a special way, and that has brought them adversaries through all of the years. The Jews have been maligned and hated and murdered, and I mean, just a lot of crazy things. Now, the Bible tells us that God made a covenant with Abraham. It's right at the opening of Genesis chapter 12. God said, "I'll bless them that bless thee," talking about Israel. He said, "I'll curse them that curse thee." And as far as I can tell, that hasn't been erased out of my Bible. It's still there. And Psalm 48 says, "Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge." Now, the reference to Mount Zion, well, let me put it this way. That little hill, little piece of real estate in the heart of the city of Jerusalem that's called Mount Zion. Here in America and in a lot of other parts of the world, we'd look at it and we would say, well, it's not much of a mountain. It's small, like Israel is small. But that being as it is, God calls it a mountain. And that city of Jerusalem, the great, wonderful city, is built around that little mountain. When you see the pictures on television of the Wailing Wall, that one remaining portion of the old temple, it is on Mount Zion. And that little mountain has become more important as the years have passed along. Now, mountains are not something that just happen to be there. They're a creation of God. A creation of God. And they come in a variety of sizes and shapes. They're not all the same. Mount Zion, being a small one, you look at some of the others that we would call great mountains, like Pilatus in Switzerland, that rises to a peak that you can wind around and walk up that to the very apex of it. And some of us who have motion issues hug the mountain when we do that to keep from tripping ourselves up. But it's a beautiful mountain. I think about Mount Olympus in Washington. I have flown in there when just the top of it was peeking above the clouds. Several thousand feet up, but it's an absolutely majestic sight when you see that. I think about Pike's Peak, that every time I've seen it, it's got snow on it. I don't know how it manages, but, you know, summer, winter, fall, and spring, it's got snow on it. And Mount Fuji in Japan, jutting up 12,000 feet into the air, absolutely majestic. I think about Denali in Alaska, 20,000 feet or so. These are mountains that we all look at, and we look at them in awe. It's like we just can't imagine. And yet God said that this little mountain, Mount Zion, is something very, very special in his economy, and then he applies it to us when he says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. As Mount Zion. Now, near every mountain, whether it be a big one like Denali or Fuji or a small one like Mount Zion, near every mountain there are valleys. The valleys will be there every time. And yet the mountains, most of the time, appear in clusters. Just think about the Smokies, the Rockies, the Alps, the Pyrenees. Usually there's more than one. They're spread out over a space of real estate. Now, this passage talks about us being in Zion and being as Mount Zion, that old city that is a tourist attraction most of the time when people feel like it's safe enough to go. And to the Jews, oh my, to the Jews, Mount Zion, that it's like their national status. It's a symbol of national identity for them. You know, the Jews have that statement, next year in Jerusalem. It's like the wish, the desire of their heart is to be able to go to Israel. And they want to go there to the heart of the city. But to be as Mount Zion, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. Now, think with me about it. Mount Zion is not new. It didn't just show up this morning. It's been there for a long, long time. And so the Bible says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. And it's not new that when the mountain is not new, and what you and I are and what we believe and what we stand for and the basis of our faith, the foundations of our faith, they are not new. We live in a culture and in a society that wants to throw away, trash everything from yesterday. And it's like nothing of any significance has happened. Nobody ever had a great thought until today, and we thought of it. That's the essence of a lot of our society today. And consequently, we have a lot of people, and I'm not talking about in some third world country, I'm talking about here in America, we have a lot of people that if it's something out of the distant past, then it's like, man, that's old hat, that's passe, and they want to set it aside. Now, a lot of our churches have bought into that very philosophy. And by the way, I'll buy your lunch for every one of them that you can find open on a Sunday night. You say, what's the deal with them? Well, they're what I call, and some of you folks who've been around a while will remember, I guess it's still available, but you know, there used to be a hairdressing called Brill Cream, and their theme was A Little Dabble Do You. And so we got a lot of these folks, you know, they've bought in to something new, something new. It doesn't even resemble what's here. And so, you know, I look at them and I say, you know, that's Brill Cream Baptist right there. Because just a little dab does them. I don't know about you, but I Brother Jerry, I love coming to church. I can't get enough of it. And I go to church even whenever I don't have access to the microphone. You know, I just love going. Love being there. Can't get enough. My dear wife's a great cook. She puts food on the table, and I eat and eat to the full, and congratulate her on doing a great job. And I, amazingly, 4, 5, 6 hours later, if not sooner, I'm back in prowling around the kitchen. What's the deal? I want to eat again. I enjoyed our meal at lunch today, but, somewhere down the road, I'm going to see some drive-thru that's open, and I'll be buzzing through there and ordering two of everything. Amen? You say, no wonder you got midsection out. You don't have to go into that. But you know, things that we love, things that we enjoy. You know, I mentioned my wife way back 50 some years ago. Kids had just gotten in school, and I said to her one day, I said, "Why don't you come go to lunch with me?" She did. I said, "You know, I like that. Why don't you do it again tomorrow?" So she did. And guess what? We've been doing it every day since. Now, once in a while, she doesn't feel up to it. And when I call her at 10:30 in the morning and say, "You're coming to lunch?" And she said, "Well, I don't think I'm up to it today." And I tell her, I said, "Look, doll, just go ahead and be backslidden if you want to. Just go ahead and be backslidden," you know, teasing her. Now, you say, what's the deal? You know, she came to lunch with me. I like that. She came a couple of times, and man, it just established a pattern. And frankly, not just me, but her as well. If we don't do that, we think we're punishing ourselves or something. We like to do that, so we do it, and we keep doing it. We spend time together. Now, folks, the things that you like, the things that you love, the things that mean something to you, you know, you're not going to just say, "Well, enough of that." No. And when the Bible tells us here that they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, we're looking at something that it's not new. This is something that God put together in the long ago. When I read in Genesis 1:1 what God put together, He's telling us about something He put together in the long ago, and no Darwinian, Johnny come lately, is going to talk me out of that. All right? Mount Zion is not new, and whenever you and I put our trust in the Lord, we're going to be trusting something that is not new. It's not just hatched. But it's something that is old, it's tried, it's proven, it's been tested, and it'll be good when the day is done. So Mount Zion's not new. Mount Zion, secondly, it's the hub around which all of Israeli life is built. Everything hinges not around the Knesset, their parliament. No, it's not built around that. I mean, the hub of Israeli life then and now, I mean, everything politically, socially, religiously, is hinged upon that little piece of geography called Mount Zion. Now, you and I apply that. They that trust in the Lord, what do? We build everything we are around Christ and the Bible. I said Christ and the Bible. I hear, in fact, recently there was a gentleman died who had made a name for himself saying that he was a red-letter Christian. What he meant by that, you know, some Bibles have the words of Jesus in red. And basically what he said was, that's all that matters. All he was concerned about was just what Jesus had said. Well, we're concerned about that. We like what Jesus said. But at the same time, the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God, it's all important. There's none of it that I want to scratch out at all. And the fact is, if you and I will build ourselves, our families, our business, our church, our school, everything we do, if we'll build it around Christ in the Bible, we're hubbing it around something that will serve us well. It'll serve us well. Now, not only that, but let me point out to you that Mount Zion has been invaded, violated, and left for dead a bunch of times. They've been hammered a bunch of times. 1948, when Israel first was reestablished as a nation, the very next day, seven of those Arab nations came after them. Guess who won that war? Not those seven Arab nations. Now, I'm just simply saying they have been invaded, they've been violated, they've been left for dead, and yet they survive. Now, you and I get kicked around. We have some of these folks that are running around over our country now who they want us to shut up. They want us to go away. They don't want us out in public. They're decrying religious freedom, all that kind of stuff, just in an effort to shut us up, intimidate us, quiet us down, get us to back off and let them have their way. And we got a bunch of them. And yet what happens? Well, we're not going away. We're not backing off. You know, some of us have used our platforms. And listen, I thank God for a place like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You got a long history, what did you say, 51 years of just standing tall, standing up, speaking what needs to be said, and doing that over and over again. And I know it happens here all the time. Brother Jerry's not intimidated and shouldn't be. And just to stand up and be counted. Yes, we're opposed to abortion. We're opposed to infanticide. We're opposed to a lot of that crazy stuff, same-sex marriage and all that. And not only are we opposed to it, we're going to say so. Amen. Speak up. Speak up loud and clear. Well, are we going to get hit? Yep, sometimes we're going to get hurt for doing that. Well, what do? We're going to get up the next day, change our bandages, and do it again. Because it's right to do. And by the way, Mount Zion does have to be defended. It does have to be defended. You've seen just in recent times with all those rockets coming in. And by the way, the news media doesn't begin to cover as much of that. That goes on almost all of the time. One or two here, one or two or three there. Now, there's times when they do the big bombardments and the news media kind of gets in on that. But Mount Zion has to be defended. And you and I will have to defend who we are and what we're about. I've heard some of my preacher brethren say, and I don't mean to be throwing rocks at them because I think they're sincere in saying it, but I've heard them say, oh, the Bible doesn't need to be defended, it just needs to be preached. Well, it does need to be preached, but sometimes when the cranks and the critics try to rip pages out of it, I'm going to stand up and try to defend it. Because, I don't want any page missing out of my Bible, amen. It has to be defended. And along the way, you know, they that trust in the Lord, they'll be as Mount Zion. They're going to be visible. They're going to be, people come and stare and look and say, what are you about? And sometimes the critics get awfully restless and awfully cruel. And they do things that are not even true. And so what we must do, we must stand up to be counted. And we have to say, that's not the way it is when it's not the way it is. Now, another point to be made here is Mount Zion is unmovable. You're not going to move that little piece of real estate. And they that trust in the Lord, there is Mount Zion. Well, yes, we've got some things on which we're unmovable. Some absolutes. Some of the folks, you know, they will say things like, well, you know, in 21st century America, there are no absolutes. To which I say, are you sure? And which they'll say, absolutely. You know. Now, the fact is, Mount Zion is unmovable, and you and I as well need to build our life on certain absolutes, certain eternalities. The storms come and go. But the mountain remains. When I was, not quite in high school, eighth grade, I went to a school down in West Kentucky, just 1 year at this particular school, it's Heath High School. That particular year, we had a basketball team. Had a center that, I think was about 6'9". Our team was beating everybody in West Kentucky. And we had dreams of going to the state tournament. We knew we had the best team in the whole state. And we could see it. We knew it was coming. Got down to the last game of the regional tournament. And we played a little school in Benton, Kentucky. And there was an announcer named Ray Mofield, and he was a good sports announcer. And he was doing the radio for that game. Eighth grade, I got the radio plastered against my ear, and I'm listening. Got down to the last, right at the end of that game, and Benton dropped in 2 points. And I can hear Ray Mofield now. Benton beats Heath, Benton beats Heath, Benton beats Heath, Benton beats Heath. We thought we were unbeatable. We thought nobody could touch us. And yet, they came along and moved us. I mean, you're talking about our emotions, true. You're talking about our excitement, woo. Now, the deal is, there are all kinds of things in my life, in your life, that we look at it, we say, hey, that house has been there 100 years. It's not going anywhere. And then it burns the next day. It's movable. Folks say, you know, man, I'm doing really good in that stock market. Put my money in there, and it's doubled up and tripled up in the last few years. I'm really doing good. And then the stock market takes a nosedive. You say, what happened? It moved on you. But, you know, what we thought was going to be, doesn't work. And other kinds of things that happen that we think, man, this is, I mean, we never could have dreamed that some of the things. I mentioned again the same-sex marriage. I mean, who would have thunk it 20 years ago, 25 years ago? Had you brought that up out on the street and just asked people, I mean, it would have been 98-2. I mean, people would not have believed that would happen, and yet something so sacred as that, something as so right as marriage was and is, and to put it into that context, I mean, who would have thought that our society would have moved and public officials would have given approval to that? You say, what happened? They moved. But there are some things, dear friends, like Mount Zion, great eternal things of God. No matter who the critics are, no matter who the cranks are, no matter who comes trying to thrash us and drive us into silence, they are there, they're absolute. God has not changed his mind, not one little bit. Absolutely unmovable. And you and I need to know the storms will come, but when they do, the mountain remains. Those absolute truths, we can count on them. They'll still be true when the day is done. In fact, this passage says that Mount Zion is abiding. That simply means forever. Being who it is, what it's up to, all that it... I mean, Mount Zion does not have an identity crisis. Mount Zion does not feel the necessity to do something that's culturally relevant. None of that. None of that madness. None of that nonsense. It's not that way at all. Now, folks, if you ask any Israeli... Ask any Israeli, is Mount Zion for sale? And they will probably tell you in Hebrew, Arabic, and English, because they teach all three in the schools there, and the people who have been there for a while, they're all trilingual, at least. Now, they'll tell you in whatever language you want to hear it in, and the answer is no. Mount Zion is not for sale. I know there are people that they're camping on it, and it's like, you know, we want some of this. The answer is no. Not about to be so. You and I need to take hold of that. We need to take hold of that. You know, sometimes we get kicked around because we're independent Baptists, you know. Well, very frankly, I chose to be an independent Baptist. I like being an independent Baptist, and you know, throw rocks at me if you want to. I'm going to stand up loud and clear and just tell you that's who I am. As far as I'm concerned, that's not for sale. And a lot of other stuff along the way as well. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. And that means not being for sale. There'll be people along the way who'll try to talk you into giving up your convictions. I would not recommend that you be unkind to them. But if they won't behave themselves, I would suggest that you stop eating at that restaurant and go to one of the others down the street if they're going to be ugly to you. Now, the fact is, you and I must not let our convictions, our absolutes, get on the auction block. God help us to stand for something and stand tall for it. In America, and I'll say I'm a little bit encouraged. I think the last two or three years when I was here, I probably said to you, I never dreamed that there might come a time when America would go down the tube, but I thought we were headed down. Now, I'm going to say out loud, Mr. Trump's not going to do everything we want him to. But he will do a lot that we want him to. And in contrast to somebody else who wouldn't do anything we wanted, we've made some progress. I'm relieved, but I'm not relaxed. And I believe even though most of us, if not all of us, are happy about the way things happened on November the 5th, what I suggest to you is let's don't assume everything's going to be good. Let's keep standing. Let's keep declaring who we are. Let's keep rising to the occasion. You know, I've had the privilege to know a bunch of public officials over the years, and still do. And there are good people. They may not get as much play as some of the others, but there are good people who hold office. I mean, everything from little offices in the local area all the way to D.C. There are good people. And those are the people we need to encourage. They may believe like we believe, but they may not have the courage unless you and I help to give them courage. Unless they know they've got somebody standing behind them. And even though we've seen a lot of things go sour, I'm just praying that we get our country back and a lot of this crowd that has taken it the wrong direction, a lot of them threatening to leave the country, you know, bye-bye birdies, I'm glad to see them go, amen. That's what they want to do. God bless them. Out they go. Now, I'm just simply saying, folks, let's don't relax just because we've won a thing or two in the last little bit. Let's remember who we are. Let's keep standing tall. Let's keep being what we ought to be. And remember, even though the mountain that's referenced here is a little mountain, oh boy, but it is something, and it's big in God's eyes, big in God's economy, and God's used it greatly. And, you know, some of us, we say, yeah, you know, I'm just one little person. I'm just one person. Yeah, I know, I hear that. But, you know, every single one of us, every single one of us ought to pray, God, make me a mountain. Make me like a mountain. Make me to stand tall. Make me to hang tough. Make me to have the grit and the determination to just be everlastingly at it. You know, Pastor made a little to-do about my birthday this morning, you know. And I'm well certified to be a senior citizen now, but I'm telling you, one of the things that's been on my heart for a number of years now, I've seen some of my preacher brethren get to their senior years and they just kind of backed off. Now, if somebody's got health problems or whatever, I understand you got to deal with that. But let's not give in our convictions just because we get a little age on us, you know. We may have to make a few adjustments as we go, but let's don't sell out just because we've gotten to have a little age on us. God help us to be strong. Listen, one little statement in the Bible. They that trust in the Lord shall be. God says you put your trust in, you know, if I put my trust in Him, That means I start in Genesis 1:1, go all the way through the Bible just saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. They that trust in the Lord, they're going to take on some of these very characteristics of the mountain. And I may not be as tall as Pilatus or tall as Denali, but even if I'm just a little short guy like Mount Zion, I believe by the grace of God, I'm just going to pray and say, dear Lord, please make me to be as solid as a mountain. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion.